So, can you explain to me this whole love is blind phenomenon thing? So, I wanna know too. So start with this whole thing about somebody is supposed to be Megan Fox.
Oh, honey. Okay. You've unlocked so many fun facts. No, okay. So, do you know the premise of the show?
I know that like these got like guys on one side, girls on the other side, and they don't see each other until like it's time until they actually pair off and choose who they want to be with based off of conversations that they have and personality.
Yep, sight unseen. So,
Right.
okay. So, this guy named Jimmy, he has been talking in the pods with this lit girl named Chelsea. Okay, so Chelsea, they cannot see each other. They're talking in the pods and stuff like that. They're not really supposed to ask how each other looks, but people do it anyway. It's not like it's not bad, but
So it's
it's
not
not encouraged.
forbidden.
No, it's not
Oh,
forbidden.
he's down. Okay.
So she said he was She said, well, a lot of people say that, she asked the question, do you have any like celebrity lookalikes? And he was just kind of like, no, except I think he looks like Doug Funny, but whatever. And he was just like, what about you? And he said, yeah, well, every once in a while, people say, I don't say it, but people say that I kind of look like, what's MGK's wife's name? I forget her name. And Jimmy was like, Megan Fox. You look like Megan Fox? Wait, what? Jimmy was also talking to another girl who she's like how do I say it? Like she's one of those like that really puts a lot in her looks. Like she kind of like always has her hair done, always has her makeup done, you know what I mean?
Very put
Like you,
together, like on purpose, like very put together on purpose, you
yeah,
know, like very, very like extremely put together. Okay,
and
gotcha.
he was also talking to her, but she has a child, and he was just kind of like, I don't really want to be a stepdad. He said it nicer than that, but the T is the girl, that's Jessica, she actually looks like Megan Fox.
The one with the child.
Well, a little bit more like Megan Fox, yeah.
Okay.
So, he broke up with her and decided
The
to go
Jessica.
with, yeah, he broke up with Jessica. And Jessica was just like, you know what? All right, that's cool. That's a fucked up decision. But I tell you what, when you see me at the reunion, you're gonna choke. When you see what you missed out on, you're gonna need your EpiPen. And he was looking like, then come to the reveal, he's with Chelsea and he sees this big back dinosaur. I'm sorry, I don't like Chelsea. I don't like Chelsea.
Don't even think we're
And
allowed to say big. Well, I think Charlamagne fucked that up for everybody. So,
damn. Well,
now she doesn't look bad. She does not look bad in
No,
this
she does have a
picture.
big back though.
Oh, really?
Let me
Don't
see if, hold
lie
on,
now.
let me see if
That
I
was
can find.
sizes. I have no idea what you're talking about.
I
I just
know.
put my headphones in. Welcome to Edit That Out, where we always leave it in. I'm your host, Devin, and with me, as always, are my two co-hosts. Let's start with the queen of the show, first of her name, Jamel. How are you doing this evening on this Tuesday?
I'm doing pretty well. Starting to get my voice back. So, listeners, I probably won't be talking too much because a lot of coughing. Look, bruh, if y'all had heard me, I sounded like a prepubescent boy yesterday. Like it was bad. Like I was talking like this. It was bad. It was
Well,
bad.
that is good for the listeners, less her and
How are
more
you
us.
doing, man?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. I didn't think you'd ask me. I'm okay. We got a lot to cover, so I'm just gonna go right to Juwan. Juwan, how are you doing on this wonderful evening? No racism today? No, well, you know, well, the polls finally did close, so I'm gonna, and I gotta get the exit results, so we will see which neighbors' houses that I got that I'm not gonna be going to, and who I gotta look at funny at the HOA meeting. So we will see about that. But other than that, I am mighty fine.
And so you do have you do. Ugh, that sounded flimmy.
Sorry.
Whoa. All right. Well, what are we here for? Y'all got anything? Or are we gonna get right into this? What I've been waiting for.
No. Well, I will tell you this, listeners. So what had happened was on the last episode, we had promised and announced for Women's History Month that we were gonna be covering women-focused movies. And the first one being Set It Off, namely because this casual ass nigga Devin had not watched it before.
Have so we you had, watched it yet, Devin?
I have not.
I knew it. So, I knew it.
I told y'all that yesterday. Y'all clearly don't read a nigga's text.
No, we clearly do read the text. We clearly give you an assignment to do. So this casual ass nigga did not do the assignment.
I asked, what are we covering tonight? Jamel was like, oh, I'm sick. I got it. I can't talk. I sound like a nigga.
Oh my gosh.
And so I was like, oh, okay. I ain't got to do shit. Then I was like, oh. Then I started talking to Juwan. I'm like, hey, maybe, you know, it is Women History Month. We ain't got to talk to Jamel. She ain't got to talk. So we could do that. But I'm like, oh, shit. When they said that, I shut it down completely anyway. So I was like, I didn't even have my notes to do it.
Yes.
And
I didn't have time
to do it, which took 4 hours today.
We'll get to it. We promise.
We'll do it. I watch it tomorrow. I was almost gonna lie to y'all. I watch it tomorrow, and then we can schedule accordingly.
Well, in any event, we were gonna watch Set It Off, but this excited ass nigga kept harassing us.
To pull the friendship card on you niggas. Look, either we cover this or our friendship is over.
You get one
friendship card a year. And I was about to pull it on you niggas. I really was.
Oh, good. Mm-hmm. I do have something that I'm here for, but continue.
This casual ass nigga kept haranguing us to cover the Walking Dead, the ones who race mix. And so
that's hilarious that you said that, but more on that later.
So that's what we're going to be covering tonight and moving forward in between our coverage of Women's History Month. But besides that, Jamel, what was on your mind here?
I have seen Poor Things.
Okay. I haven't seen it yet. I'll be watching it.
Is that like a movie? I was like, What, one of the Oscar movies? Have you been hanging out with? That's what I thought you were saying.
Funny.
At first.
Well, you haven't been in town, so it's fine. I watched Poor Things a couple of days ago. And that might have been one of the weirdest movies I've ever seen in my fucking life. I can't even lie to you. I do see why Emma Stone was nominated. Devin, you'll like to hear this. She's naked through half of the movie.
Oh, really? I heard there was nudity and sex scenes.
Emma Stone, is that her? Is that Gwen Stacy?
Yes.
No.
Yes.
Is it? Yes. Yes. Okay.
I was talking about it's Superbad. She's in Superbad also.
Oh, okay. I will be Googling the nudity parts and watching those like Oppenheimer.
I mean, it's like the entire second act of the movie. You don't really have to Google it.
No sounds.
Okay.
Unless you don't like porno sounds.
Okay, sound on.
Oh, it's like that. Okay.
Right.
Do you want me to tell you the premise?
No, I know the premise. It doesn't matter.
You know the premise? Okay. You said it doesn't matter. But either way, it's a good movie. I see why she's nominated. I still think it's gonna go
unbelievable.
I'll let you
Okay, all right, I'll be the judge of that.
For yourself. It's actually a very, very good movie. And it's a good movie to cover for Women's History Month if you want to, but I mean, we don't really have to do that because that movie's fucking
crazy.
We
don't support women on this pod. How many times do I have to say make this joke?
Yeah, because you're not a feminist because you made us cover this.
I am a feminist. Oh my God.
Sorry.
Let her get it out.
Oh, that brings me to my question, Jamel. did you get the soup that I thought about getting you, but Juwan wanted to pay for it? Damn, Juwan, you are a communist of all.
Which one of us?
And guess what? I had to cook last night.
Wow. You are really a shitty person. I offered Jamel soup, and Juwan graciously said that he paid for it and didn't even send it to this lady. That's crazy.
I don't know. I forgot which one of us was supposed to send her the $15 for lunch. So
I told her to send you the Addy. You know what? Have it delivered.
You know what? I got, speaking on that, Devin, did you see the recent one about going back to that $15 lunch conversation? Did you see the recent one where I think we settled on that maybe $30 was probably good enough?
20.
Because, well, I said 20. I said an even 20. You said an even 30. You said that you had some.
Y'all said 20.
Yeah, I would never do 30.
I think y'all said it on an even 20. But how about this? Did you see the new one with this girl? And this is maybe not being a real. This is maybe somebody, you know, vying for attention. But she said, this lady on Instagram said that a guy, first of all, nigga, stop doing this. It's corny. But said a guy DM'd her saying, hey, I want to send you some on your lunch. And she was like, okay. And he sent her $30. And she got mad and said, I don't know if she accepted it or not, but she said, according to her, the guy asked to buy her lunch. She accepted it. He sent her $30. She put him on blast for only sending her $30 and saying something to, and this is lunch. Keep in mind, this is lunch. And she said something to the effect of, when I go out to eat, or when I take myself out to eat, I get full meals. I get two drinks. I get an appetizer. I get my entree. I get a dessert. Exactly, Jamil. Exactly. Exactly. And I was like, where the fuck are you getting lunch? Where the hell are you getting lunch at? People with money don't even do that shit for lunch. You know, so where the hell are you getting lunch from? Where you getting two drinks, an appetizer, an entree, and a dessert? Talking about $30.
Taking a friend on your dime. That's what they're doing.
But and then she was talking about like, that's not even enough to put half in my gas tank. And I'm like, well, how do we get the gas tanks? What is this about? So
it comes back to women putting a price on their vagina, and men, whether or not foolishly or smartly, being willing to pay said price.
Well, if it's going to be a price, then I'd rather just leave you a few hundred dollars on a couple hundred dollars on the counter and just leave it at that, because we're not doing tit for tat. And I'm not funding the lifestyle. I'd rather know what I'm funding and give me a receipt. But
I was you got a fan for it? I mean, I was about to buy soup for a woman I'm not trying to do anything for. And then you graciously wanted to do it for me. So, you know.
But yeah, that's
my point is I'm gonna end up buying it, so it don't really matter.
Mm-hmm. Also, a retraction from last week. I take back everything I said about Risa Tisa. She deserves that BMW. Charlamagne should buy it for her.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't even know who that is.
Go ahead.
No, it's the woman that did the whole 50 Par story that you didn't watch about.
Oh, right.
The man playing in her face. Yeah. The only reason I said it now is because last week I was being the whole corporate shield about why should a corporation need to fund a car for this woman on her own for free, but then said corporation not only used her story to advertise their product. Give her a fucking car. You pieces of shit. You pieces of shit. Give her a fucking car.
I still haven't watched the TikToks, but Kenny off YouTube did a full breakdown.
It was an hour and a half.
And I watched it this morning, and I was sitting here like, God damn.
I think the trash. But yeah, like I said, BMW need to give her a car, or Charlamagne needs to buy one for her. And she got an agent now. She's with CAA, so she's doing big things.
She was on Good Morning America and Tamron Hall.
So I wish Risa Tisa nothing but the best. And one last thing, and I'm just going to talk to the audience now because neither one of you watched this. Devin only never heard of it, but I saw Dune 2 on Sunday.
That's the Zendaya show. I've seen it.
Yeah, you, Yeah, absolutely. Fantastic. I think it's better.
Shut your mouth.
When there is a certain point, I'm not really spoilery, but there is a certain point in the movie where it will remind you of, just bear with me, there's a certain point in this movie that will remind me of Don't Be a Menace to South Central while drinking your juice and hood.
Do we have a problem?
No, I'm not going to say what it is, but there is a certain moment. If you've seen the movie,
I got these cheeseburgers. I don't want these cheeseburgers.
Yeah, if people have seen the movie, there is a certain point that that directly reminds me of that of that movie. But other than that, what else are we here for, Devin?
The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Live.
I love you so, so much.
It's been so long.
I have to get home.
I have to find him.
It's a broken world, Michelle. Till my last breath, I am yours.
I felt him. I still feel him.
Episodes 1 and 2, which I like to call 12 Years of Rick and Michonne Get Back. That's what I call the two episodes. So when you made that racial joke, I was like, oh, yeah, because this whole first episode is Rick being a slave. And it is crazy. So let's get right into it. Let's start with you, Jamel. Thoughts on the episode as a whole?
Are we doing the first episode or both?
First episode.
Okay.
You can do both. Let's do both.
I'll just do a couple of thoughts real fast. I did not expect to like this. I did not expect to like this, and I was never a Rick and Michonne fan. I wasn't a Michonne shipper. Like, they were together, that was fine, but I was like,
okay, I didn't see the chemistry that everybody.
I didn't either. I saw it now.
More on that later.
Because I tell you, the way that white man was giving up everything to go get that black woman.
Oh, I'm not even talking about that part.
Women's History Month? Yes. Coming out of Black History Month. No, this is Black Women's History Month, okay? Mm-hmm. Therefore, I really, really enjoyed it. And what the hell is King Bach doing in this?
We gonna get into that.
I don't know who that is.
Jamal, yeah, I gave you a fucking primer. Okay, so I would say I'm a little bit milder on the show. Definitely milder than you, Devin, and a little bit milder than Jamel on the show. I honestly did not like the first episode when I first watched it. I had a lot. It kind of ruined my suspension of disbelief of what the original show. Put forth in their narrative of how they set everything up to get to this point and how do we begin to where we end up at the end of the main show, The Walking Dead, and it kind of like did not have a believability that everything that within the 5 years that from the within the 5 years of everything that was happening on the main show. You have all of this shit happening within what, Jamel, Pennsylvania to DC, to DC, about 200 miles away.
Yeah, it's about an hour and a half away from DC.
About 200 miles away, you have all of this shit happening, and then you fucking have the goddamn ghetto in Washington, D.C., not to mention the fact that in between the ghetto and Philadelphia, Beverly Hills, you got Glen Oaks or whatever, because yes, you know, with the Commonwealth. So it would kind of like ruin my suspension of disbelief of how this is happening. But I think the second episode, the second episode actually made me like or appreciate the first episode more. So when I got to the second episode, I was like, okay, now this is starting to make sense. Now I understand why certain things could not happen. Why Rick can say, hey, you like me, how about there's 20 of me? You know what I'm saying?
But in
overall thoughts, again, the first episode was kind of, I was mid on, but the second episode really brought it together. Yeah, exactly. So I can't rightfully say that I'm down completely on it, but I'm definitely willing to stick with it, you know, and allowing it to wash over me.
Well, yeah, I disagree with everything you said. Everything. The first episode was amazing from the jump. The second episode I loved as well. People that I immediately will get into it that I thought had no chance of living, they made me care about them in a short period of time.
Oh my god.
So like it was kind of like the that Last of Us episode about them two niggas, I forgot what their names were, but like you cared about them just in an hour. Like all these people, all these devs hit me. I'm like, I don't even know these niggas 10 minutes on screen time. So let's get into it because we got a lot to handle.
Bill and Frank is what you're talking about.
Bill and Frank. I thought he was talking about Sam and the two black ones. That's who I thought he was talking about.
Two black people.
Oh, yeah. Him and Henry. Sam and Henry.
Yeah, Sam and Henry. Well, you said niggas. You was using a colloquial nigga.
Okay.
Right, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah, so Rick is watching the news and thinking of unaliving himself, but he decides, you know what? This ain't really my speed. So we come right into the darkness. I'm like, okay, Rick.
Okay, you know what? Pause right here. Fuck, I'm sorry. This is going to be a lot of me. Pause right here. Nitpick. These niggas got network television, Jamil.
I saw that.
So you have a problem with them?
Because... where the fuck, like the network television in the zombie apocalypse with newscasters in the fucking studio, where the fuck are you, Rick? You know, honestly, I thought maybe he was like in England or something at first because like, you know, across the pond from Daryl because like they're a little bit more advanced. But
my question with you is, and this will be like an overarching question, like,
okay,
why can't they have it? If we know that they've established that they're inside, they have a whole society, and we've seen them, it's been a minute, and I felt like that was what was unrealistic about The Walking Dead, if we want to be honest, that everything went to shit and nothing ever got built back up.
So that's a problem I have with a lot of zombies. That is a problem that I do have with a lot, and I feel you on that because that is a problem that I do have with a lot of zombie media, where immediately when there's an apocalypse, the power goes out, the water stops running, there's no natural gas, there's nothing. So this is the problem. But if that's the world that we establish, then when you open your show with him watching the news, I spent fucking 12 years seeing motherfucker shit in the goddamn lake. And you open up this zombie show with folks watching the news where this nigga spent where this nigga just was watching in the river.
We should know as like Walking Dead fans that was a very small part of the world that we were looking at. It was just confined to that group and that we knew that other people were out there. And so I don't feel like I had to just like think for suspend disbelief about anything.
Also, I have another little nitpick. I'll bring it up now.
Okay,
so Walking Dead universe, and we can get back into it in a minute, but the Walking Dead universe has spun off with you have the main show, you have this show, you have Fear the Walking Dead, you have the World Beyond, and this little anthology show. So they have several spinoffs which they try to tie together. I think this show shares a connection, the course with the main show and the World Beyond, which I think I saw maybe a few episodes of that. Fear the Walking Dead, though, how the fuck does that fit in? They have
Is
a nuclear.
Is Morgan in it?
Morgan is in Fear the Walking Dead, but Jamel, I don't know if you noticed, Jamel, and I'm going to spoil something in Fear the Walking Dead. Their Fear the Walking Dead mostly is on the Midwest, the West Coast to the Midwest.
I do know that.
They had a fucking nuclear holocaust. They set off a an Oppenheimer-style bomb in in Fear the Walking Dead. How the fuck, and this is like maybe, and this is like near Texas, sorry for you. How the fuck, where's the fucking fallout from that?
Well, is it, I mean, isn't this the CRM group doing that, all of that? Because they did Atlanta. No, this was
Morgan set it off.
Oh, well, hell.
Oh, I don't know. I
he was clearing.
Right, yeah. I guess so, yeah. I don't watch that show. So I can't say what stupidity they did in that show. I'm just saying in this show, they haven't, to me, they didn't give us a reason to doubt what they were. You can't, so, I feel like we can't, like, do all, like, tie all that stuff in when that was a completely different show.
My point is, I have to separate what I've seen to get into this show, knowing that if we have a connected universe, you have a fucking nuclear bomb that went off, but one half of the country is just fine, and another half of the country is just a fucking nuclear wasteland. It's nuclear wasteland, apparently, allegedly, because that show still on. Go ahead.
I don't know anything about that. So we go back, and we go back to 5 years is when the bridge happens, and we get Rick. He's like, oh, I got my freedom papers from Gimple. Y'all will never see me on this season, this season show again. I am out of here. Jada says we gotta be, and he is gone. But now he needs his freedom from a different oppressor, and it's the CRM. And this nigga Kunta Kinte's himself and cuts off his hand. Now I was like, this better be a dream. When I'm like, oh no, we're not doing the. Is it Aaron who cut off his hand in place of Rick on the show?
I don't know. Well, Aaron. Yes, Aaron got his hand cut off. Aaron got his hand cut off, and also this is of course a callback to the comics because Rick was supposed to get his hand cut off in season 3.
Mm-hmm. So, and at least I'm gonna speak for myself. I thought this was a dream sequence, or did y'all think this was really happening?
I actually got spoiled on it because I think I was trying to find something, and I saw where it said Rick. It didn't say exactly what he did, but it said like episode 1 opens with a callback or something that Rick should have did in the main show, and I was like, oh, he obviously gonna cut his hand off.
Okay. Yeah,
I thought he was just gonna cut the chain.
Right.
He probably could have cut the chain because he cauterized the own thing. So,
they wanted to do the comic thing.
Right. Mm. I did not like that. I felt like
I don't like it either. I would rather him have a functional hand.
Right.
And actually,
that was my one gripe.
What he does of all the fucking magical white man shit that he does in this episode, it makes sense that he has functional hands. But we're gonna just suspend disbelief on that.
That was my biggest issue with this. Jamel, did you have a problem with it?
Not really.
Okay. We go to dreaming, and Rick is out here dreaming of the love of a wonderful black woman, and he is shooting his shot like he is Steph Curry, and right before he gets an answer, he wakes up to reality, and he's like, damn, I really don't have no hand. I said, that's a hell of a wake-up call for your ass, Rick. But he gets a little more of his slave trader. He is now a field nigga, and he is out here in the Walker Fields, and his master, a gentleman called Okafor, shout out to another black man they made me care about. Love
Donald J. Okafor.
I liked him, but I didn't because, can y'all guess why I didn't like him?
No facial hair.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He felt like he was always, every time he talked, it was like he was giving like a speech. Like I felt like he was like grandized, like everything. Like everything.
He is an orating ass nigga.
A what?
Orating.
Yeah,
for sure. He really was. But so, I mean, this is an orating ass show can be sometimes. So
he walks up to Rick. He's like, I see you working hard in these fields, boy. But I would love to make you a house nigger. How would you feel about that? And Rick's like, I like the fields and I would never be a house nigger.
Because and I am going to try to escape again.
I cut off my hand for this. I cut off my feet or any other things. And he's like, why would you do that? I'm trying to help you. I'm the only friend you got. Listen to me, nigger boy. And he's like, I won't. And then he just goes on this killing spree. And he's like, you tired now? Go wash your guts off. Like, we go to Rick, just like tired, taking a break. And he has a friend of a friend walk up. His name's Esteban. And he's like, man, Rick, you are still out here after cutting off your hand. You must have a guardian angel. He's like, yes, Okafor. He's like, why don't you just join them niggas and become a part of the soldiers, and then run away. He's like, what? Ding. Is that a possibility? You mean I could join them and still run away? He's like, Rick, are you this stupid? He's like, I might be. So why did not Rick not think of this himself?
That was, well, I think that it's a part of the plot. But see, I thought that him joining it, and this is what, again, this is me, and I hate when people do this, but I'm going to do it. But this is me rewriting the show. Why not join them, get into the good graces, learn how to fly the fucking helicopter with your right hand, and take your ass back to Alexandria? But
I think
obviously Rick didn't know he could do that, so he didn't know that he could actually join them.
Because Rick been feral for so long, he probably didn't even think of that.
Well, we go to episode 2, and Star Wars. Let me land. Stop trying to be the leaders of the show. Oh, Jesus Christ, let me land. Golly.
Okay.
And Rick has now got his mechanical hand out here, and he is a full Sith because he is out here whipping ass, and he's done with his Jedi training, and he tells them, Okafor pulls him aside and is like, look, I know y'all tried to kill me, but I think I see it. I see the dark side of you. I want you to join us and be leaders of the Siths. And Rick's like,
and the other chick from South Africa.
And I'm surprised that Devin is skipping over her. Yeah, I'm surprised you're skipping over her because you just skipped a whole chunk of who she is.
I didn't really care. But
nigga, wait a minute. No. I'm not gonna let you live this down. Because
what am I skipping?
Navia.
Is that Navia?
Nigga, I said it in the damn group. Do you not read my chat? My chat. I
clearly did. That's Navia.
That is Navia.
I didn't know who that was.
From Spartacus.
Holy shit.
Oh my God. That's the one that you like.
I know. That's, I love Navia.
And see, that's why I'm saying, why are you skipping over this?
I didn't know it was her. I got to look at her now. I thought you were saying I skipped part of her character. I'm like, I haven't got to that yet. But
that's what I said in the group. Like, I'm just gonna skip over Navia and then talk about King Badge.
I didn't know what you meant. I saw that, but I was like, I don't know what the hell you're talking about. And I was just like, okay, I'm just gonna keep it moving.
But yeah, that is Navia. That is I want to get the actress's name correct here.
Something Brandt or something.
Leslie Ann Brandt, who is a South African actress, of course, mostly famous for us playing Navia in Spartacus on Stars. And honestly, you know what? I was kind of with you, Devin. I did not know there was Navia at first either until I saw it after the episode and saw her name. And I had to look her up and like, oh, fuck. I'm like, oh, shit, it is Navia. Because I thought that she was playing a Latina woman here, but she does.
Well, they say South African on the.
That's what I was about to get to. She does say that she's from South Africa and that she came. And I thought it was really interesting that she likes to play. That her character was that she liked to play poker. When she finally made it to America to play in the national championship in Las Vegas is when the world went to shit. Right when she started playing, that's when the world went to shit. And she was found when she was trying to get back to South Africa. Where Okafor found her, in the ocean.
So it's her. Okafor is talking to Rick and her about joining and being leaders, and he says, "We don't really want this shit." And she says, who is this we that you keep referring to? And she's like, Phil.
It's we.
Right. And he went, speak for yourself or I will kill you, white man. Ooh. And so we go back to the owner of the plantation, as Rick. Hey, is that nigger Okafor up to any good? You know I can trust you. And he says, no, sir, he is not. You can even look me in my eyes. What did y'all think about him in this scene and saying, oh, he tells Rick, is this just a way of you to get away? And he's like, why would you even say that?
because
absolutely. I was waiting for you to turn your back.
He's low-key telling him, like, listen, I've tried it 4 times. I'm going to try it again. And I have a plan for an underground railroad, but you don't know about that yet.
I don't have a read on this character yet.
Did you think he knew that Okafor was up to something is why he asked for it?
I think he's suspicious, obviously.
You don't need to have a read on him anymore, but I mean, spoiler
alert. Obviously.
So Rick goes inside. He gets inside the city and he meets with Esteban. He's like, hey, if I was to try to escape and I went down this path, where would it take me? Allegedly, hypothetically. And he's like, I have no idea what you're talking about, but if you did try to do that, it takes you here. And he turns out to be a really good friend. And yeah. I like Esteban. I'm like,
Esteban.
Man, I hope they don't kill him, but I feel like he's going to die too.
Spoiler alert.
Rick goes into his Rhaenyra Daemon plan of trying to get away, gets him a fake body, and is about to try to escape, put the dog tags on the walker, about to blow everything up. And then this little ass girl just comes out of nowhere and starts
cock-locking.
Right. Rick's like,
God damn it.
Do I have to be a good person? Yes, I do. So Rick saves her, and then
he's not Carol. He's not gonna kill no kid.
He needed to be, because he could have got away scot-free. Yeah. Well, he said he thought he could have got away, but Thorne is right there, or Navia now. That I can't call her Thorne now, knowing that she's Navia. Navia saves him. He's like, look, I saw everything. Can't get away. Just call it in, nigga. We're gonna take this little girl back to where she's at.
Because she's a bee.
Right, right. And Rick's like, fuck. All right, I guess I'll go back. And she tells him, hey, even if you got away, they got information on you, so you're not going nowhere. Mm-hmm. And at this point, what did y'all think that she meant by that?
Exactly what she said.
Exactly what she said, that they knew everything that they could have put, or context clues, who Rick was or what he had. You know,
he found the messages in that bottle. In the bottles, he's been writing notes and all of that shit.
See, when I first saw it, I was like, what could they have on it? Like, I didn't think about the bottle and stuff until I was like, oh shit. But yeah, I didn't remember any of that shit from the show. So,
well, I think that was at the very, very end of the series finale of The Walking Dead. And what we find out in this show is this was where he got to that island. That's how, as far as he got, and this was his third attempt at escape.
Because he tries 4 times.
Yeah, he tries 4 times.
Mm-hmm. I shot him 4 times.
Right. So where are we at? So Rick is like, wake up, little nigga. Like he's Ghost with the gun on Tyreek. And he's like, are you going to kill me? And they end up having a fisticuffs. And Okafor whoops Rick's ass. Rick thought he had the drop on him. And it did not go the way he planned. Like, he had a knife at his throat and still lost. That's
bad. He did.
Rick, you saw that Rick was feral at this point. Like, he got no point in not being a beta at this point.
Yeah.
Okafor is like, I killed my wife for this shit, nigga. I'm not new to this. I'm true to this.
That's like, when he lost me. I was like, wait, what the fuck?
He said, Rick's like, kill me. He's like, no, you're
gonna. Because like, I'm coming back. I'm going back to my wife. Okay, you might not like your damn wife. I like my wife.
I mean, you know, your wife was white because you did what you did.
Oh my god. Oh my god. That's hilarious. But I honestly, this was my favorite part of the episode. And I thought the acting in this scene, Like, we got that little emotional Rick. We got emotion from Okafor. I love this scene. Would y'all have anything else y'all wanted for this whole thing?
I mean, no, I do like this nigga was acting, so yeah, I did like that. But I didn't care. Again, when I first watched it, I was like, okay, whatever.
I really liked Okafor. I really do. I mean, I know he doesn't have facial hair and he killed his wife. Well, damn, those are two big, really red flags right there.
Does he kill his white wife? That's a problem to you?
But everything he says, like, made perfect sense. He was just like, bruh, just keep your head down and do the job, man. You're here. Here.
Exactly. And again, this is the whole thing with The Walking Dead where, you know, Rick and minus his crew get to a new location and they just can't fucking sit down and chill. They always got to find a way to integrate themselves into leadership and fuck it up without having to actually making things better. Thinking back on it, actually, within this last minute, this actually does tie in pretty well to the overarching story, because he is talking about, you know, going to liquidate, so to speak, these cities and nuking Atlanta, which we know happened in the first episode, and then nuking Los Angeles, which we know happened in the in Fear the Walking Dead. So he was the one that actually did that, was doing this. So I do like that we got that particular little tie-in. I got it on the second viewing, because on the first viewing I was like, okay, I'm waiting for this show to be over.
All right, so we go to Nevia, comes into Rick's apartment. Rick's having his old drunken stupor. He's like, damn, I really am a bitch now. I guess I gotta do this
Oh my gosh.
And she tells him the story about the little girl and how she was surviving and covered in Walker stuff. We found out in episode one, the little girl survived through that and they saved her, and how this place is like a safe haven for people like her and them. Mm-hmm. And they should be good. Rick's like, I don't want it.
A black wife.
And she's like, you can have her.
She's gonna be pissed if I don't look for her.
More on that later. She's like, she ain't here now. Did you notice that
Okafor knew her name? He said, was just like, he kept saying Michonne or something
Michonne,
like that.
Yeah, called Michonne. Because he black. That's an interesting name. That's a unique name.
He looked like, you got a black wife.
I mean, the way he drew her, she got dreads. So.
Yeah. I mean, that could have just been hair.
Oh. She looked like a nigga on those iPhones.
Yes, he
that
did.
That could be me being racist, though. But anyway, she's like, look, give me your drink. And she drinks his drink for him and then throws the glass. And I just got, why is she always throwing glass?
That's how they friendship, I guess.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing.
The first time when she met him and she was drinking, she threw glass at him. It's like, what the fuck? And then this time,
you being wasteful at this point.
Right, he like, I was drinking out of that. You clearly saw me. You drank the last of my drink. You know I was using that cup.
So we watch a lot. We watch a lot of media. So I feel, now that you mention this, this feels like something that's going to come back. Like, maybe there's going to be a situation where Rick and Michonne are going to be somewhere, or they're going to make an escape attempt and they're going to see like a broken bottle somewhere, which is going to like, oh, we need to chill.
It's like The Walking Dead 2, Electric Boogaloo. They're going to put it back in there. Yeah.
I do have a prediction, but we'll get to that later. But I do have one question. Do y'all feel Nadia has a soft spot for Rick, or do you think she
Navia.
Jesus. What did I say?
Nadia.
Yeah, Navia. Do y'all think she likes Rick?
Oh, she wanna fuck. She was definitely down.
Okay. That's just me. Jamel, she wanna fuck Rick train?
I thought that Rick was maybe thinking like, but no, I still got a black wife.
Okay. We know Rick is faithful. He got in that tar and he is stuck.
Yeah. Absolutely. Oh, ew. Don't say that. I don't like that.
Once you get a taste of that black tar, okay, right on.
Don't do that. No. Absolutely not. Edit that out.
Well, we go to Rick flying. Rick took his 2 years of pilot school. He is now a pilot, and they letting him fly the plane. He's like, Rick, you being real quiet over there. I don't like it. And Rick's like, well, let me tell you about my dad committing insurance fraud and why, you know what? I give up. I'm all in. And Okafor, like, that's great. Bang. I'm dead. And
I was like, that shit shocked the I did not see that coming. That shit shocked the hell out of me, honestly. I actually, this was when, like, oh, fuck, I'm in. So.
Okay. All right. Yeah. So I'm like, well, yep. Like Tim, he's gone now. They're going down. And we get the reveal of someone killing everybody. Did y'all immediately know that was Michonne? Or
yes.
Okay.
Once I saw the code, I was like, I bet that's her.
I don't know why. I don't know if I was just in it too deep. My brain was just going everywhere, but I was like, oh shit, it's Michonne. Like, I did not see it coming.
And right. Then when they were fighting, you could kind of see her locks.
Like, yeah, like, yeah. Watching it over again, it's obvious, but I don't know why. When I first watched it, I was just like,
and oh, then shit, you saw
Katana. Yeah, and I was a little bit annoyed that this is just the first episode. So, I mean, it made sense in the second episode, but I was a little bit annoyed that I'm killing, like, these four guys. But this last guy is the only one I'm going to take the mask off of. So,
it looked like she was looking along.
I'm saying at the end of the first episode, this is how I'm feeling. Oh. I do see in the second episode, we do see her do it to everybody else. But they didn't show it like that at the end of the first episode.
I understand.
All right. So we are at episode 2. That's how we end with them, that reveal. And... We see Michonne. We pick up where Michonne is doing her thing. She's helping two people get back to their family.
King and Bach.
Okay. Yeah, that person. What are you doing and here? We got this fake Maggie. She's like, hey, look, we could really use you. And Michonne's like, yeah, that's great. Are y'all going to help me or am I just going to be back here?
Can I have a horse, please? Michonne,
maybe you don't know this, but we have good hair care products, and maybe you would like to stay for a while, and
can
you know,
give me a hair package for the road.
Because I am leaving, and we get this.
I'll try to be a good ally.
Right.
That's cute, but I have kids.
Or do you?
And they want their daddy.
Right. Okay. Now, wait a minute. Before you speak through this, Devin, let's address the King Botch. Because Devin, you didn't know who this is. He was just a brief primer for the listeners. King Botch was a internet personality, very, very big on Vine, way back in the day on Vine. I used to follow him on Vine, and very funny. He became a legitimate actor. I don't think he's been anything that you would have necessarily seen before this, Devin. But I was a little bit irritated by King Botch in this. In this episode, I don't know if it was an acting.
Just because he's too big and you just can't see him as anything else.
No. I don't know if it was an acting choice or what, but it was giving step and fetch. It was giving weak. It was giving step and fetch. It was giving not minstrel.
Well, he said he hurt his ankle.
Yeah, it was giving a little too country, and maybe that's my internalized racism. I'm willing to admit.
Clearly,
I did not pick that up.
I feel like you're looking at this show through a negative lens, and so when you any little thing, you're gonna be like. Overanalyze.
Well, see, keep in mind, this was the episode that got me in, but it was
this is the beginning of that episode.
I know. Okay. It was just something about it. Like, this looks a little weak black man type of situation to me, and I don't like it.
Oh, I didn't get that. We get this guy coming in angrily, who we later find out his name's Nat. He's like, we left them. They're your family. Like, how could you do this? He's like, well, clearly you left him too.
Nat came in on 10.
And then they're like, hey, Nat, we're alive. And he's like, how the fuck y'all get here? He's like, you just get right here next to us. She saved us.
That was funny.
And they're like, oh, well, can we help you in any way? Would you like a horse?
Yeah, you can want a wagon. You riding VIP. We got you. Whatever you need to. She's like, can I have a horse? You can put whatever horse you want. And the sister was just like, I mean, hold on. No, she's getting a goddamn horse, bitch.
let alone we're gonna give her your horse. Now shut the fuck up. So they're like, hey, it's getting dark. You might as well, you know, get you a bath because you kind of stink. Get you a
the hair product. Mattress. The hair product.
You know what I'm saying? Be rejuvenated for your suicide mission. And she's like, all right, one night.
Because they have to go to Bridger's Point or something like that.
Terminal or something? I don't know.
Bridger's Terminal, yeah. Somewhere in, I think, like Delaware, I think they said. And Delaware is like there from Philly. It's super close.
Right. So they're like, we'll give you a horse. We'll give you some equipment. Oh, it's a real place? Load you up.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm just talking about Delaware.
Oh, okay.
So we'll give you all that. We'll tell you how to use all the stuff. And you'll be on your way. And she's like, cool. And they really seem to have hit it. Well, obviously, Michonne saved them. And they really like her. So she's true to her word. She's out of there early. We go. And they told her, look, there's a migration happening. You're not going to get past
great
this.
Great migration.
So mm-hmm. you might want to stay with us. And she's like, fuck it. I'm going to do it my own stuff. They gave her a weapon. She uses it. Somehow.
They give her like those screaming things, right?
Yeah, scream sticks.
Yeah.
And she shoots it off. And one walker is lit on fire, but for some reason has gas cans tied to it.
Now, that was interesting. Now, because I don't... We haven't seen...
From a different show or something?
I don't know, because I think the episode 2 does open with another walker that is tied up with gas cans. And then, of course, we see another, a different one here. But we don't... But I don't... We don't see where this actually comes from.
And it said something on his shirt. It was just like, let us help you or something like that.
Yeah, so that's interesting. So I'll be interested to see, because really the walkers in this show are, like with the main show, don't really have much of a presence unless they need to be. You know, how walkers can have personality. They'll have different walkers do different things, or like different walkers have like serve a purpose. So they're not really doing this here. They're still the mindless shamblers. So it'd be interesting to see how they character develop as much as they can these particular walkers. Because another thing, which I don't know if they're going to tie this in with this series, the walkers in the main show have evolved to being able to open doors, use tools, climb things. Oh, yeah, you didn't know that?
Yeah, I stopped watching after Negan started crying.
Oh no, these motherfuckers are coming. These motherfuckers are actually like
using like steps and stuff.
They're using like steps. They're climbing the ladders and shit.
Oh wow!
So I was curious if that was gonna happen. So I don't know. We haven't really focused on the walkers much this episode, so I'm not sure. But I will be curious to see if they go back to that. But it was making them way more dangerous on the main show, which I kind of enjoyed. I like that. Anyway, the gas guy blows up and blows up other walker, and it shoots a projectile head at Michonne, and she's Rhea Royce. And I'm like, is she paralyzed? Because she looked real fucked up.
But I tell you what, that horse said, I'm out.
Oh, I just got it. You took Rhea Royce. I got it.
Yep. Because she was wearing brown. She had... Yeah, so I was like, man, that was crazy. That's what I do. There are so many House of Dragon parallels in this episode. It's crazy. Anyway, she's getting up. She's like, damn, I got to fight this. I'm about to die. And boom, boom, boom. Chicka-cha-chi, boom, boom, boom. These guys said, hey, we came to help you. Luckily for her ass, because she was about to be dead. And they're like,
she really looked like she was about to take on all of those walkers, just like Jon Snow was trying to take all of Ramsay Bolton's men.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I thought that was what it was going to be.
Yep. And so they're like, look, we following your lead. We're going to follow you to find Rick. We didn't want to be with those people anyway. And she's like, all right.
Bash coming like, yes, ma'am. We going to follow you to the promised land.
I did not pick that up.
Whoever this guy is, Juwamas ate him.
It's not. It was just something about it that I didn't like it. It was just something about it I didn't like it.
It's because he was with a white girl.
Clearly, he got her pregnant. Oh, I can't wait to tell you when I get this girl pregnant. What's gonna happen?
Oh, hi, nigga.
So
gotta leave Ohio first.
Never mind. We are. Oh, so they're traveling, and they say Michelle's like, "Hey, you know what? Since you're pregnant, I could give you a map to go back to Alexandria, and I'll go to
just mention my name. Mention my name, you'll be good.
Right, I'll tell you what to say. It's the password." And they're like, "Nah, we want to help you find Rick." And at this moment, I said, "All these people are dying. There's no chance that any of these people make it back to Alexandria."
It was too sweet.
Yeah, I'm like, their insistence on helping her, I'm like, oh, yeah, they're dying.
Granted, I really, really, really wanted the Nat to make it, though.
So, okay, so let's move on. So they're walking down the street, and Nat's giving a little bit of his backstory. Mm-hmm. And we get a helicopter, as we've seen several times. And that shit makes it.
They were moving fast enough. They was not moving fast enough for me. If they know the helicopter is dangerous, why the fuck are you? Why?
They
why
didn't. They didn't know it was dangerous.
They didn't know.
You think they didn't know?
No.
No, because they're nomads. Excuse me. They're nomads. They didn't know.
Right. Okay, at this point, they didn't know it was dangerous. They just like, oh, what are they doing? And then Michonne's like, oh, this isn't good. And she says, scatter. And they drop a chlorine gas bomb on them, apparently, and it fucks them up. Ooh, they find themselves into a department store of some sort, and
there's mixing pass out with Clorox. Don't fuck with it. It will fuck you up.
Okay. Thanks. I didn't know that. So they drop that, they get into the department building. Michonne's like, I think her name's Aiden. Look, we got to tie her down because she ain't going to make it. And don't fall asleep next to her. I saw...
Which, I'm assuming he ignored.
Absolutely. More on that later. So Michonne's like, there's a medical supply store down.
Because she told them to tie her to the bed.
Yeah. I'm going to go get these oxygen tanks so we can try to, like, survive. So she leaves, comes back, and Aiden has turned. And on the pillow next to her is a big blood thing. And she puts her out of her misery. And we see that, I forgot his name, but I guess the King Botch guy has turned as well. And everybody else is dead, but we don't see Nat. And he's actually hiding behind his little fire thing. Michonne kills the King Box guy, and he says, "Thank you. I couldn't do it to him. I couldn't do it to him."
And a call back to his character that he lit the fire, which I thought was cool on the thing to keep the guy. I mean, I don't know if that would have like actually kept him out, but I mean, for the sake of the plot, it did work. You know, where he hid behind the fire.
Right. So. He tells her as we got a long recovery ahead of us, so we see them. It looks like months and months go by, like the seasons change.
Because their faces are much better.
I was talking about the roof because they had like snow on the outside. Leaves.
Yeah, the seasons change.
So I was like, they were freezing. I didn't even notice their. Oh, you mean like the burns and stuff?
Yeah, like their faces cuts and things.
Yep. So they nurse each other back to health. She's doing yoga or some shit. And they eat tomato soup every day, which sounds like hell. They decide, all right, we're strong enough. Michonne once again tells this nigga, hey, go to Alexandria. I'm going to keep looking for Rick.
Trust me, they got you. Just mention my name. Say we cool. I got you.
And he's like, look, you're all I got. I lost
it. And everything. I'm little.
Yeah, I'm a little person. And I'm not leaving your side. She's like, all right.
The wagon thing, though. But I know you're about to get to it, but go ahead.
Oh, right. Well, he's like, well, we just got to go get back my supplies. And she's like, nigga, I know you ain't want me to pull that shit. He's like, absolutely, yeah, with your big self.
Nigga, I do.
Tall.
Right.
He's looking like, bitch, I am 3 foot fucking tall.
You see my
legs. Michonne gave her the Jamel, like, I know you don't expect my light skin self to do anything. Yeah, Lee.
Let me go get a walker real fast.
Right. She's like, well, you know what? I got an idea. I've been doing this. and mm-hmm. she had that walker pulling the thing. They get to the boat terminal, and it is blown up. We see the CRM is taking care of that place. We get
everybody's
that.
Everybody's
yeah, every unrecognizable, no shoes. So they have this little night where Michonne's like, yeah, this nigga dead. And that takes a turn.
With his boots. Who down bad?
I mean, it's reminds me of...
I get it, but it's still...
Yeah. I mean, yeah, well, you did kiss that white boy, so we know that you love the love of a white man.
Just like you love the love of a white woman.
That's a difference. That's okay.
How?
Because white
exactly.
women are not...
Continue.
White women aren't the problem. It's the white men.
Okay. One day I'm going to I'm going to teach you about the Daughters of the Confederacy.
I don't know what that means. But
see,
but
I got
you. All right, Emmett Till, keep going.
He didn't touch that white woman. I touch him.
Move on, please.
Oh, okay. Nat takes a turn and he's like, look, I know I said maybe there is a little hope. And she's like, really? He's like, no, but you kind of need it. So we could just
you look
imagine.
Real sad and I need you. So
right. He's like, we could pretend that he's still out there and just act. And she's like,
that nigga is so sassy. He was so damn sassy.
Really? I don't know if you're allowed to say that these days. Are we allowed to say that?
That's nothing wrong with sassy.
Oh,
no.
A lot of people have been calling Uncle Shannon Sharp sassy, and I'm like,
they're just trying to be reductive because he's getting on because he's coming up.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I need you. So let's just buck up and let's go back to your place. And she's like, all right. And she cries out. The next day they're walking or time and they hear a helicopter again. Now they know it's danger. He's like, oh, I got something for these fools. He pulls out his grenade launcher.
Pulls out the blicky on him.
Right.
I do like when he said, yo, bang. I'm sorry, I still your trigger chachi, but I do like when he said, oh, this was a dud. And that was the one that fucking
that killed. Yeah, he was like,
right.
God damn it, I missed.
Right.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
blew,
he's like,
and
nah,
like blew Okafor up.
Like, yeah, it's so great. I love that callback. Like, it's like, damn. He's like, fuck, let me shoot again. He's like, I got him that time. Like, nigga, you got him the first time, for real. But yeah, he's like, we not gonna run. He's like, we gonna shoot. And Michonne's like, I'm ready to kill. And
Michonne
so,
looked at the thing when it finally blew up, like, ooh.
Right. And so they crash, Rick and them running out. We've seen this perspective before, but now we see it from Michonne and Nat's perspective. And he blowing them up. Rick and them fly. Michonne gets her kills.
And
Rick blocks her
like,
with his...
Oh, I want to look you in your goddamn eyes, bitch.
Right, yes. He blocks her
and
with
then
his...
We, and of course, like I said before, we do see her take off the other people's hood. And you just see the perspective in the first episode.
Right.
And she's like, oh, Rick? And they have this moment where they absolutely embraced and hugged and kissed and... I'm like, damn, there is chemistry between these two niggas.
Yeah, Devin, I thought the very same thing. I was like, okay, I see it.
Yeah,
see
and
it.
So I got a question for the two of you. You are married. So this has been 6 years since the last time they've seen each other. They've both been through countless numbers of trials and tribulations. You don't know what they've gone through. And they obviously love each other. Because we've seen their different journeys. But they don't know what the other one's been. So I want to ask the married people on the pod, and we'll start with you, Jermaine, as you know, it is Women's History Month. If your husband tells you, I have to arrest you after being 6 years apart, could you blindly trust him as Michonne did?
Yeah.
No thought, no. Because I want to... Because
like the
like
way that he explained it. No, I understand. Mm-hmm. Like, cause the look on her face, it was just like, wait, what? Cause right. like when she first like saw him, like he was just, I ain't with them. I'm just trying to.
Right. Trying I ain't with you. Them, but I'm dressed like them.
Right.
Okay. Like I ain't with these niggas.
This is cosplay.
Right. So like, I mean, the way he explained it was just like, listen, like they like me. Let me just get you through here.
I'm working from the inside.
I'm working from the inside. Just trust me on this. You know I got you. And the way, like, it was really cute because, like, he was like, I gotta pull a gun on you. And before he pulled it, he was just like, I love you, though. I love right. you. I promise.
He tells her, you can't be yourself. You can't show them who you are.
She's like, another name, mm-hmm. boo.
Right. He gives her the lowdown.
That says Alexandria.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Come with me. But before that.
Pulling out for our big homie.
Pulling out for the big homie. Go ahead and get to that, Devin.
Well, so you would be able to just follow him.
Yeah, I do it. Yeah.
Juwan, shoes on the other foot. Could you do this?
Oh, if this was my wife asking me?
Yeah, like, hey, I'm not with these people. I'm just with them. Could you blindly listen to her and just be like, okay?
I mean, I could do it. Yeah, I mean, I could do
would
it.
Would you do
I it? Haven't seen him in yeah. 6 years. Yes.
Yes. Like, okay. I don't know what's going on. Okay, whatever. How can
but
I be
we together
be
now?
You? How can
we
I
together
be
together now? Let's do
fuck
it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
We'll worry about logistics later. Let's just do this.
Because I felt like I couldn't answer this question because I don't know that love yet. I hope to one day. But yeah, so I was like, is that really believable? So okay. We go
yeah I believe she this.
She gets to the back to the place. She
wait,
passed
wait,
the
wait,
test.
Wait.
We gotta pull one out with a big homie.
Oh, moment of silence, please.
Because wait, but even before the moment of silence, like Nat's
oh,
looking
the
on,
actual
like, is
scene.
This your nigga?
Oh, my bad. So
I
right,
love
so,
how Nat was like, is this yeah. your nigga?
Yeah, he's like yeah, that is bang. And I
gasped.
Was hard.
Yeah, that was fucked up.
I was so sad.
I wanted him to live.
I really did.
Like him,
I wanted him to live.
Him in Philadelphia, that shit. Him in Philadelphia, man. If they, I mean, obviously the show wants to do something different. But I felt like if he had to live, this would have been amazing. Now,
that would have been awesome.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was watching with my homegirl, mm-hmm. and back because that's why I asked you guys back. At the campfire scene when we found out old girl was pregnant, I was like, yeah, these niggas ain't living. But mm-hmm. I knew that they had already killed the couple, but I didn't think it would be this episode. I thought he was
I would have thought it might like episode 4 or 5 or something like that.
Yeah, you know? I knew he was gonna die, just not when he died.
They got that nigga up out of the way.
Right. Mm-hmm. It hurts.
Yeah.
For real.
But yes,
so,
you want to take a moment?
Yeah, let's take a moment of silence, please. All right, that's enough. She passed the test. Now, go ahead.
So here's my thing. I'm sorry. Let's stay here for a while. So here's my thing. You mean to tell me that they bought this? That they bought that this was all?
Well, they did it. Well, we're on that later. Some people did.
Well, we know only some people did, but like the one person we know who would never have bought this because of who she is. So.
Right. So we see that she's being watched and. They're like, do you have a problem with that? She's like, no, I just.
I ain't seen a mirror in a long time, girl.
Right. I'm trying to see how I look. Right. Well, I don't even know what the fuck that is. So she does pass the test. She's a consignee and she got her little stripes on. She's going to start working for the people. And Rick's like, hey, he tells her to the back of the bleachers and they proceed to do some of the most. Real/non-real kissing that I have ever seen on television. And I was like, are they about to fuck on The Walking Dead?
Nigga, I think it was finger banging her. Because then it was. When they moaning and shit?
It was, nigga.
He was kissing them black lips, okay? He probably.
Like,
I,
he's like,
that was
look
Andrew
at
Lincoln.
Juicy watermelons. Like, oh, I love these soup coolers. Again, I never saw the chemistry, but I'm like, these niggas are fucking. Like, I think they fucked before.
Felt like it.
The way they were kissing.
And if you see them like do like promo for the show, they be sitting real close. Are they the one of them married? Let me look that up. Continue.
Right, I think he is.
It was so believable.
Well, his wife gonna be pissed.
We had seen them together for years on The Walking Dead. I never saw that much. It would say like if someone that you hadn't seen for a long time and you love them and been thinking about them for so long that the passion wasn't just on paper. It was like you could see it was palpable, like the passion and love they have for one another.
Oh yeah.
I got kind of hot. I was like, oh shit. We find out that Jadis is watching, and she breaks into Rick's apartment. Finally, he has another glass.
This bitch.
Navia broke the glass.
Did you think it was Jadis? Did you think it was Jadis in the beginning?
No.
Before they.
Said, I have forgotten.
I thought it was Navia.
Okay. Yeah. Well, she reveals it. She reveals herself as Jadis.
And, oh, girl. Wait. What? What?
I'm sorry. It's been crazy since I woke up. I'm telling you, it's been a crazy day. Sorry. We get the reveal as Rick walks in his apartment. It's Jadis. She's like, long time no see, Rick. What you been up to? You still looking fine as ever? I'm gonna let you know that whatever bullshit y'all think y'all about to do, don't. Okay. Like, of course, Michonne found you, and I'm gonna keep that off record because I'm gonna let this little investigation go through. But I know the bullshit is on. We have an agreement. You better because stick you know to
you
it.
Your ass can't leave.
Right.
Which we don't see, which is interesting because they have an agreement, which we don't necessarily see what the agreement is. Maybe they'll do a flashback because, you know, we got this whole thing about B's and A's that we didn't know what that meant. And I don't even understand. I don't even know if the show.
Well, they told us what it means now.
Well, we told them, that's what I'm saying. We know what it means now. Oh, we didn't know what it meant in The Walking Dead. What was a B and what was an A? And I don't know
what they even. Oh, at the junkyard. Remember the big A at the junkyard for the trash people?
Okay, I do remember. Okay, maybe I remember that.
Yeah, they like marked an A like on one of like the trash. Because Jadis was with the trash people.
Yeah, she was the trash people. Which
One of them was marked with an A.
I don't know if they're gonna go back and explain this.
In the show, initially she had marked Rick as an A. And then when the thing blew up, she said, you know what? Actually, he's a B. So she changed her mind about
Here's my thing. Rick
killed.
Well, because Rick is an A. Rick is obviously an A. In the context of this show, Rick is an A. Michonne is an A. So I wonder if the agreement was, hey, I'm going to bring you in as a B, and was she maybe down with Okafor as well?
Oh, I don't think that. Well, because Okafor was trying to change it from the inside, too.
Yes, but see, it's got, because she knows Rick is an A. I'm just kind of, this is me getting my speculation and excitement on where is this going to lead with Jadis now back in play. Obviously, I have not seen The World Beyond. I know that she has in the season 2 of The World Beyond. She's in that, so I don't know what her character is in that, but I'm interested to see what it is in here.
Yeah, I have no idea, but I am interested in seeing that. That is the end of the episode. Do you guys have any predictions or thoughts moving forward? I know you said that, Juwan, you want to see where Jadis goes. Is there anything that you're curious about that you think is going to happen or something that you want to see?
I would be interested to see if any other, I would like to see if there's going to be any other character that will show up from the main show, either show up here, like, for example, let's say not Morgan of the White. I try to think of someone who was left off.
Maybe Negan and Maggie
like,
in New York.
Yeah, Negan or
Maggie. I didn't watch that show, but I guess. I don't know.
I didn't either. I just heard about it.
Well, they're close. Eugene, or if they could show like a little flashback, a flash forward, or a current, like what's going on at Alexandria during this time, because this is the whisper of time for Alexandria.
I'm gonna give you a chance to think about it. I was gonna call you Michonne, Jabelle. My prediction is they escape, but I'm calling Michonne's death. Like, I'm thinking they're killing Michonne, because if we, at the end of the episode, which I guess I didn't even say, at the end of the episode, she goes walking through and Rick does give her, when they were making out in the bleachers, he gives her the lighter back from Nat. And she is hell bent on revenge. Danger.
Yeah, she's right. Looking like, how am I going to fuck this up?
Right. And Rick tells her when they're done making out, and he's in the throes of passion, he was like, this is one of the last times I tried. And she said, she was taking it back, like, you gave up. She would never do that. And I feel like there is a disconnect there. And I don't think it's going to work out well for Michonne. She did not tell him about his son. He doesn't know about RJ. I think
she did that on purpose, though. She did that on purpose, though.
Yeah, she did.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't think she's ever going to reveal it to him.
I think if he knew, then...
He'd go feral.
Yeah, exactly. I think if he knew that, he definitely will...
And then he'd make some really, really, really dumb decisions.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to play into it, that he's going to make it back to Alexandria and see that he does have a son, but she's not. That's why I feel that.
You fucking up right now.
That's what I'm thinking. That's just a prediction. I understand,
but
I don't think she's making it out.
Well, okay, I have a question.
Navia. Who the hell's
Navia? Maybe Rick dies and Navia and Michonne make it out.
Well, they can't do that because they already tried to pretend. They already pretended to kill Rick and they didn't do that.
Unless we definitively see it.
Yeah.
But here's my thing.
I think Rick's out of here, or Rick's safe.
Here's my thing, though. I don't know. I haven't read any news on the show. Obviously, you haven't, Devin. I don't know about Jamel, but I don't know if they actually announced that this was a limited thing. I don't know if they announced like, hey, this is only going to be a 6-episode one-off, I assume it
depends on the
rating. It does not say limited series.
Okay. Interesting.
But they
can still do your thing, Devin. You know,
yeah, I think she's dying.
And not be a limited series. But, you know, I mean, it is titled The Ones Who Live. So that could be also foreshadowing in some kind of sense. Mm. But in any event, good. I wasn't as keen on the first episode, the second episode.
Someone would call you a hater.
Well, I didn't say I'm a hater. The second episode got me hooked into it. So I'm going to stick with it. We're going to continue with this as a 2x2 and fitting in into our coverage of Women's History Month, since we already committed ourselves to that and Devin can finally watch Set It Off. But other than that, Jamel, where can they find you on the internet, ma'am?
They can find me
with some NyQuil. I'll
take my lungs out.
Right. Get you some Mucinex. Jesus.
It's late.
So Juwan, you know, please send her that soup tomorrow. Jesus.
You can send me $10. But anyway, you can find me on Twitter or Instagram at Jamel My Bell. That is JamelMyBelle. If you're looking to find me anywhere else, just pay me, nigga.
Send me some soup. And Devin?
You can find me on X or Twitter at Devin Lamar.
With two R's.
Talk about it.
And you can find me on X, formerly known as Twitter, at JTDE. That is JAYTEEDEE. Thank you very much for listening. We appreciate every single last one of you. And we will talk to you in the coming weeks for our continued coverage of The Walking Dead, The Ones Who Race Mix, and Set It Off, and other female-led movies. Thank you very much. We appreciate you.
Peace.
You're well.
Bye-bye.
Oh, my God. The mother of Mecca is right here before me. Do my eyes not deceive me, or am I looking at the goddess Isis herself? Can you do me a favor, my brown skin angel? Can you tap that white girl for me? My milk of magnesia. Oh. After the devil made you, he broke the mold. Well, maybe you and I could make a little jungle fever.